have a basketball program that we all expect to compete for Big Ten and national championships year in and year out.
There's no other way to look at it. It's one of the better jobs in the Big Ten.
Final four!
I didn't think you got me this good, but it feels good!
The Orange Crusher got a lot! It's the Frank Williams Show!
First, I need to announce your check.
Welcome on in, everybody, to the boardroom. Maddie here, alongside Josh, Johnny, Tyler, and Robert for our special edition Sweet 16 preview episode here. It is Tuesday evening. Robert has just landed in Houston. Tyler is going tomorrow. Johnny is also going tomorrow, I believe, as well. He'll be there. Josh, you're not. Josh and I are holding down the fort here in Chicago. And Sam,
at where? Where are we holding it down?
Okay, it's 8 seconds in. The under hit. Congratulations at Finley Dunn's. We got a lot to talk about here. Let's start, Robert. Let's get a little vibe check, right, Robert? I don't think we've talked since really before the tournament started. So you're in Houston. You're in the city where it's happening. Let's get a little vibe check before we get started.
Hey, Maddie, what is Finley Dunn's? What are you talking about there?
Changes cue cards. It's upside down. It's upside down.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
Thanks for the plug, as always.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Yeah, I'm in the hotel room where Tyler will be tomorrow night. We have a suite. That's right. Two bedrooms and a big common area.
For the activities. For
bunk beds? I was going to say bunk beds. Bunk beds?
So much room for activities. No. But we both have doors on. Tyler, I took the room with the desk because I can come hide in here and write in here. So your room does not have a desk, but there's a desk out in the main room. So, yeah, it's a vibe check. I don't like that Iowa's here. It's all I've thought about. I'm a weak man. I don't have the capacity. I picked a hotel out in the suburbs, hoping that I would not run into a single Iowa fan to limit my exposure.
We're going to get into the Iowa stuff for sure. We'll get into that because I think that was on the top of a couple of our heads in terms of list of what to talk about. So Tyler, is your vibe check also have anything to do with Iowa fans and you're not in Houston?
My vibes were low at the end of the regular season. We talked about that a little bit after the Big Ten tournament. And but this weekend in Greenville turned my frown upside down, man. It was such a great weekend. Had a blast. Thanks, Robert, for letting me cover.
And thanks to Uncle Brumby for paying.
Yeah. And just the Sweet 16, the release of that for me from an emotional standpoint, you know, I'm not going to say it's all gravy because I still think this team can win a national championship, especially if they play like they did in Greenville. But my vibes are high.
Hell yeah.
Wrong vibes.
Johnny, Josh, what about y'all?
Yeah, I'm in this really weird place where I kind of want to pause this week because the week between, like right after the first weekend into the second, it's just amazing that people are gushing about Illinois and you can see so many things about, oh, they've got a great offense, all this stuff. And then there's another part of me that's like, get me to the game now. Mm-hmm. Like it's all I can think about. So I would love to just be playing. Like, yesterday I got home from work and just rewatched the VCU game because it's like really all that I can think about. Because once we lost the Vanderbilt game for the women, I was like, okay, well, what do I want to do right now? And it's just let's just watch some of the nuances, because I did want to see. It was like, were we getting some bad calls in the first half, yes or no? And there was a stretch there where we were, but my vibes, Maddie, to answer your question, on just focused on Houston. It's all just like, what can we do? I like feel like I'm game planning as if I'm part of the team, which is incredibly a huge waste of time, but it's all I can think about.
Let me know if you find anything. It's kind of like, Robert, I know back in the day when you go to Rantoul and you're like, I found something, but I cannot give it to, yeah. I cannot talk about it because yes. Kent State might see it in the first quarter of the first game on August 30th. So, Johnny, it kind of feels like that, where it's like, if you find something, feel free to shoot it over to Coach Joey Biggs, but don't share it with us.
100%. It is just hearing people at work who are like, oh yeah, I haven't watched any of the March Madness games yet this year. I'm like, oh, that's really interesting. It has taken over my entire life since Thursday.
Did you see the clip with Underwood from one of the Chicago shows where they asked him and he said some fan came up to him like outside the elevator in Greenville and asked him, like, when your big guys that are 7 foot have the ball in the lane, why don't they just jump up and dunk it? Why do they try to do a layup? He's like, all right,
that's Johnny right now.
Yes, yes.
No, yes. But I know what I'm doing is stupid, and I would never try to like give Underwood tips. That being said, I just don't know what to do with myself, so I'm trying to like coax some thoughts and put it into some sort of productivity. But I can tell you the Houston scout later.
Here's my Houston take, and I was going to ask Tyler this question in person tomorrow. After I pick him up at the airport, so I'll just ask him on this here now. Houston on the KenPom page, the one thing that sticks out is the distance of their two-pointers. They are mid-range jumpers all day. They don't go to the lane. They don't get fouled. They don't – like, if there's more than six free throws for Houston tomorrow, that's a problem. Or on Thursday.
The fouls is scary.
Yes, because we don't foul, and they never go to the line. They just shoot mid-range jumpers and make a really, really high percentage of them. So I don't – like, I'm trying to figure out how that – like, well, there's part of me that's like, oh, my God, that plays right into our hands. And, the, you know, and then I'm thinking of other games where Nick Boyd is getting to the rim at will. I'm like, well, they're not that team. They're the – you know, and maybe our height is a problem for this mid-range game. So – like, I can talk myself into, well, that's really good for us, or that's really scary, so I want Tyler's take.
I mean, Houston plays an old-school game like that. I mean, I'm sure we were going to cross this bridge at some point about their tendency to shoot mid-range jumpers. They don't make a huge percentage of them. I mean, I'm looking at KenPom too. They're 52% for the year on two-point field goals, which is – middle of the pack in the country. So it's not like they're just bombing it in, but they have guys who, and we will play drop coverage like we usually do, I'm guessing. And that was a recipe for a loss last year against Kentucky. Kentucky made a bunch of mid-range jump shots in that Sweet 16 game last year in Milwaukee. And it was ultimately our downfall. So it's an interesting dynamic, as you say, because their strength on offense is kind of what we allow on defense. And there's some give and take the other way too, where some things that we do really well, they don't do as well on defense. So it's a really interesting game within the game kind of matchup with these two teams.
Yeah. It really feels like we're playing Michigan State all over again. They take those mid-range shoes. They're going to be really tough defensively. But Robert, I had the exact same thought as you yesterday when I was looking at their KenPom profile. I saw, oh, they're 351st in free throw attempts. And my first thought was, oh man, if this ends up being like a high foul game where the refs feel like they have to call it both ways, and then Houston ends up getting 20 free throw attempts, that's a problem. That is a huge problem for us.
Johnny, I could not agree more because that's my thought. It's like, okay, in this game, if it's normal game for both teams, we go to the line 26 times and they go to the line 4 times. Like, that's how the two offenses would play. And you're exactly right. If the officials are like, oh my gosh, fouls are 9-1, better make the, you gotta even this out. That's how the game's gonna be played. We're gonna be driving their physical defense. We're gonna get fouled and they're just gonna shoot a bunch of jumpers and not try to get to the rim and not test Big Z and everything else. So yes, a normal game tomorrow is like 26 free throws to 4.
Which, speaking of giving tips tomorrow away, that was my first thought. I was like, how do I contact the refs to let them know that this is the two styles of play? I'm like, please do not take this game over.
It's going
to be a
temperature check for Illinois fans, because a team that shoots mid-range jumpers like Houston does is not – and as you said, they don't go to the foul line. We don't foul on defense. So if we're 10 minutes into the first half and Houston's already in the bonus, there's going to be some angst flowing amongst Illini fans everywhere.
Yes. Here's my question. Do I need to do that, Johnny? I'm going to the press conference tomorrow. Do I need to put a question on a tee so that Underwood can get a quote out there, like at the Cubs? I'm like telling this behind the scenes secrets here. Like, oh yeah, I'm all in on this team, and I'm gonna set up press conference questions just for the coach to get a narrative out there. But yeah, I mean, look, Lute Olson before the Elite Eight game in 2001 spent his entire Saturday press conference like Illinois. I mean, they're just going to foul. They'll probably have 45 fouls tomorrow. I don't know if the refs have the courage to call them all, but they're going to foul us at least 40 times. So I don't know if they'll have the courage. It's up to the refs to call them because I know they're going to foul. And it worked. It worked. He worked the refs the whole game. They called 46 fouls on Illinois. So maybe Underwood needs to be out there tomorrow saying, like, look, I got a team that doesn't foul, and they got a team that doesn't try to draw contact. So you're going to see a lopsided game on the foul count.
I would ask that question first. I would have my hand up like in kindergarten. I know the answer. I would immediately ask that question.
Pick me.
Mrs. Johnson's third grade classroom sent in a question. They want to know.
Why, and Robert's going to ask it.
Why, for a non-X's and O's guy like me, can someone explain the reason to take many mid-range jumpers? It was so much fun to watch an Illinois team this year take gold medal shots, which were almost never mid-range jumpers, which were three-pointers or get into the lane or free throws, all gold, silver, and bronze. It feels like unless you are wide open, a mid-range jumper is never going to be a medal shot.
It's if your roster has guys who can make him. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. Tom Izzo said that about his team a couple of years ago. He was asked about the preponderance of mid-range shots that they took. And he's like, hey, we got guys that can make them. It was like Tyson Walker made a bunch of those, for example. And he said that it's a comfortable shot for us because our guys are good at them. And it's a weapon for us. And okay. So if you practice it, you know, it's I'm sure what Houston's thought process is.
I would just practice taking a step back and shooting from the 3-point line is what I would
They shoot the three pretty well. I mean, they shoot the three about similar to what we do, 35-ish%. So they're not bad 3-point shooters. I mean, so.
But how's their offensive rebounding? And I'm scared to ask because it's Houston.
That's what I want to talk about is they're a good offensive rebounding team as well. Not as they're 36% offensive rebound percentage, 26 in the country. Not as good as Illinois' offensive rebound percentage, but that's not where the battle happens. The battle happens with can we clear the defensive glass? And that's a concern. That's probably my biggest concern is because we have the height. Houston has the athletes, and I'm worried that their athleticism will be able to jump over our height and grab their fair share of offensive rebounds, which negates that shot volume metric that we want to command. It's basically what VCU did in the first half, but Houston's way better at shooting the ball. And so if they get the shots, the extra shots that VCU got in the first half, we're going to be down as opposed to still up because VCU just couldn't shoot the ball.
I'm thinking about that. Maybe my second question should be, Coach, is it legal for Big Z to put Stick'Em on his hands? So when he grabs a rebound, he holds on to it?
Oh, so man, was that the Maryland game where it was just the balls were flying off of his hands?
Just like, yes. But look, he brought it all back and then some with the dunk that's been everywhere. So.
How many times collectively have the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of us do you think watched that replay?
At least 75 here.
Probably more.
I write an article that revolves around each game rewinding the most important plays of the game, the 5 most important plays. So just compiling that alone, I probably watched it 50 times.
Oh, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was just you've all seen it. You know,
it was Here's the thing for me. I had the best media seat in the 10 years that I've done this. I had the best media seat I've ever had for that game on Saturday. And it was right in front of my face. It was an insane athletic sequence.
And tied to that, since I wasn't there, and I'm usually there, and I can't make a sound, I've said this to people, it's the single loudest sound I've made around Illinois basketball in at least 10 years.
Do you want
to? I'm always there, and I'm always in Meteor Row, and I can't make a sound.
Do you want to do? Do you
want
to do it?
I let it out.
Do you want to do it?
No.
Headphone users, turn down your volume now.
I think there's special dispensation for a play of that caliber, because I had Mike DeCourcy and Jeff Goodman were down maybe two or three seats down to my right, and they both had visceral reactions to that dunk as well. I mean, you just could not. I mean, just as a college basketball fan, you just react in the moment, like, holy crikey.
Yes.
You can say it, Tyler.
Like, you know what our PG rating was.
My algorithm keeps sending me videos of, like funny videos of it, of, like, why are we letting European guys do this now? Like, you know, this is possible now? Like, what are they making these guys in a lab? Like, what's happening? That's, you know, the distance on the jump is insane. So yeah, it was, it's everywhere, and I love it. It is guaranteed to be in One Shining Moment.
No doubt.
Guaranteed.
Oh, yeah. So to bring it back, though, again, that's, to me, there's two keys as far as strength versus strength. The offensive rebound / second chance point battle. And then also the other strength versus strength is Houston turns people over and we don't turn the ball over. So if we can manage that half of the equation and keep our turnovers down to a manageable level, say 10 or less, then that's a huge factor in Illinois' favor.
Okay. From the scout.
All about the possessions, right?
Yep. 100%.
That's NBA teams, actually, I was listening to a podcast, have really like leaned into the possession math versus the efficiency math of just like, all right, we're fine falling a little bit more if we can get steals and just get more shot like opportunities. So it's real, like Houston offensive rebounding and steals. I'm fascinated to see what happens.
And that's my point about VCU. VCU easily won the possession game against Illinois on Saturday. They had 60 some shots and we had 50 some shots. I think it was plus 10, but they just couldn't shoot. You know, credit to our defense. But that can't happen on Thursday. It just can't.
You can't get out. I think their points per possession, at least in the second half, was like their worst of the season, right? If I'm not making that up, right? You can afford to get out possession by VCU. You cannot afford to get out possession by Houston.
That is correct, man.
I made an X's and O's point. Hey, guys, it only took 6 years and 145 episodes.
Yes. One other thing that I wanted to talk about with Houston's roster is just think about it in a vacuum. Think about, you're a college basketball fan. Don't think about Illinois for a second. And you are playing a team in the Sweet 16 and you see they have a better defense than they have an offense. And their offense is led by a freshman ball handler who's their leading scorer and a freshman big man who's their leading scorer. Wouldn't you be like, well, freshmen are kind of inconsistent in the tournament. I feel pretty good about that.
Except for Illinois has the exact same situation.
He said, Tyler,
that's
Illinois.
What I said.
Surprise. Guess who I'm talking about, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you talking about Houston, Johnny?
No, I'm talking about Houston.
Yeah.
Kingston Flemings, right. Their lottery pick freshman, and Chris Sinak, their big man, also a freshman.
Hmm.
So their Merck and Keaton are freshmen, right? Mm. They also have a Kylan, who Milos Uzan, who's a senior and was a big part in their Final Four championship run last year. Same thing with Emmanuel Sharp, but they do. All you need is like one inconsistent night from a freshman who's trying to outplay Keaton Wagler, right? That's all you need is one low efficiency night from a guy like Kingston Flemings.
And our freshmen are back, so we're good. So it's not going to
be. No, we're just the number 1/2 offense in the country. So, like, you can count on that.
Good point.
But they're only like 10th.
Since it's the Sweet 16, a trivia question for you guys. How many KenPom top 16 teams did Houston beat this year?
Oh, Johnny did this exact thing
already,
to us. You literally, Johnny did this exact statistic. You guys have the exact same brain.
100%.
He sent us a very detailed text yesterday about this exact thing you're going to go through.
The answer is zero. The answer is zero.
Johnny,
when they play a good team, they lose.
Johnny, read your text.
Yeah, okay.
Wait, is this more proof that I didn't listen to the last episode?
No, this isn't a text message. This is just a text message that I sent at 9:21 last night. Okay. I said, Team A, 0-4 versus top 14 teams in KenPom. Team B, 3-4 versus top 14 teams in KenPom.
Yep.
And Josh says, we're Team B. I'm guessing Houston, Iowa, or Nebraska is A. And it was Houston.
Yep. They lost to Tennessee, Texas Tech, Iowa State, Arizona, Kansas, and Arizona again. They nearly lost Auburn. They won 73-72. But yeah, they just don't have, you know, they just don't have a quality win anywhere on their resume. That's what has me, like, if you look at Houston teams of years past, like, it was the big games when they were, like, dominating. Like, you know, they play a top 10 Texas Tech team, a top 10 Arizona team. They win those games. You know, last year in the tournament, they beat Gonzaga, Tennessee, Duke, and Purdue. This just isn't that Tennessee team. So that's, like, most of my encouragement. I'm sorry, this isn't that Houston team. Most of my encouragement comes from, they did lose to Tennessee this year. We beat Tennessee. You know, they really struggled with Auburn. They don't have really, besides their non-conference, they don't have like these huge blowout wins like we have, you know, 84-44 or whatever. So there is this, like, maybe this isn't that Houston team kind of a thing going on. And that has me encouraged going into Thursday.
So that, I think you buried the lead there. Are you encouraged heading into Thursday?
Yeah, I am. My trip down here, for whatever reason, like, my initial reaction to this has been like this: please don't let Iowa be there. Oh God, this is going to be a nightmare. I don't want to be surrounded by Nebraska and Iowa fans and this and that. And my newest updated reaction is very like, somebody put on Slack today of like, you know, the reference to like Walter White of like, you know, this is our moment to turn the tables and be like, I'm the one who knocks, like, say my name, Heisenberg, kind of like, these are the moments of like, okay, maybe I can be here in this, like, oh, I don't want Iowa to win. Or maybe I can be here with an attitude of like, maybe it's our time, you know? And so, for whatever reason, my vibes today on the plane and on the, I did the train, the automobile, and the plane. For whatever reason, I've arrived here with like, what if we come in and like beat Houston by 12 and then beat either Iowa or Nebraska by like 20? Like, what if this is just a, oh, wait, no, this is a really good team playing really well right now. You know, some of the best stats for the first two rounds of the tournament, regardless of, you know, when weighted for competition, still great statistics. Maybe this is a team that is really on a roll in March.
We are on a roll, but I would challenge, and I have, I'm with you on the encouragement, but the first two games of the tournament for each team were shockingly similar. We played 156, KenPom won by 35. They played 155 in KenPom, won by 30. They played 38 KenPom in round two, won by 30. We played 42 KenPom, won by 25 or 21. So they're coming in. Yeah. They played well too in that first round. Mm-hmm. First round.
Can we talk about the Iowa thing, Robert? Because I'm a little bit surprised. I find myself just a smidge surprised at how you're feeling. And maybe we need to do a little point counterpoint. I think you talked about it on Light the Eye. I like how, if I'm understanding this correctly, you were vehemently rooting against Florida. Or sorry, vehemently rooting against Iowa.
Oh yeah.
Against 100%. Florida in the game, yes, the other day. And yes, if I may quote a quote that you actually said under your breath a couple moments ago, I'm not a college basketball fan. I'm an Illinois fan.
No, I believe I said hates basketball.
Hates basketball. You are an Illinois fan, right? You, by yes, that definition, any possible leg up or advantage or opportunity for Illinois to win the national championship is something that you can get behind. And I'm pretty shocked that, I'm not saying you have to like, woohoo, cheer on the Hawkeyes, but I'm surprised that you are not like, yes, you know what, when we look back, and 30 years and Illinois won the national championship, we got to play Iowa or Nebraska instead of Florida in the Elite Eight. I'm so surprised that you are not so pro anything Illinois. I understand if Illinois had lost the other night against VCU, the tournament would be off. I'd be rooting against Iowa and every other Big Ten team. But I'm pretty shocked that any opportunity or advantage that Illinois possibly could get, that you are not just, because I'll be honest, I was cheering so hard for Iowa. Not because it's Iowa, because I don't want to play Florida, right? Mm-hmm. I want the easy. I know Brad Underwood one time said, give me the hardest path. I'll tell you what, damn it, I want the easiest path. Give me the easiest path. So I'll shut up and listen. But anything that makes Illinois' life easier, you sign me up. A banner is a banner. I don't care who you beat. I want the easiest path.
I understand that logically. I know that's the correct answer, but I keep saying the same quote of the heart doesn't want what the heart doesn't want. Like, I can't help myself when I'm watching that game. Like I said on the Light the Eye thing, like for 2 hours as we were driving back from St. Louis, not watching the game, I'm just sitting there like, okay, at the Neoga exit, I'll check the score again. And then it's all I'm thinking about from Effingham to Neoga. And then I'm like, okay, this is the exit. Maybe Florida has come back. I check the score. You know, it was like 57-56 at that point. I'm like, okay, thank God they're going to come back. You know, I just have this, like, you have to understand my specific age. In high school, when I'm a sophomore in high school, we go to the Final Four. In that Final Four, the Michigan loss happens, this and that. Somebody on this screen here was maybe a walk-on on that team, possibly. That loss happens. I'm a sophomore in high school. It is that team and that Final Four that gets my shit together, and I start, like, actually studying to where, like, okay, I literally went to the guidance counselor, like, okay, what do I got to do? I got to go to Illinois, so how do I do this, you know? Like, I just wanted to be around the sports, basically. 89 was, you know, 89 football, 10-2, 89 basketball, Final Four. It's what I wanted to do. So I set this up. I'm going to be in crush. I finally get into Illinois. Like, my whole life is pointing to this. And then as I'm a senior in high school, Bruce Pearl does what he does. And Iowa basketball ruins my, you know, my freshman year, we're 13-15. We have 7 scholarship players. The year before, we were banned from being in the tournament, even though we would have been like a 5 seed. All of this is because of Iowa basketball. So if people wonder why the Andy Kaufman shot in 93 was such a big deal, when it was just like, oh, we hit a 3-pointer to beat Iowa. All of that came down on that moment. So Iowa has just sat in this place of, they ruined it for me. Bruce Pearl ruined it for me. Like, I could have had college basketball experience that Tyler had, and I didn't have it because of Iowa basketball. And so there's no way I can ever have a feeling of, like, I want to be around those people. Oh, good for them. They made the Sweet 16. Oh, great. We'd have to face them in the Elite Eight. Nope. No chance. No way. Get it out of here. I'm staying in a hotel further away so I don't have to see Iowa fans. It's just, if you went through the trauma I went through as a student, I feel like everybody in those years would feel this exact same way.
I understand. Fair point.
Yes, I understand that, like, we could beat Iowa by 20 and we would be looking at a scenario of, like, oh God, we would have lost to Florida. Thank God Iowa was here. Like, that got us to the Final Four. I understand all that. Okay. I just don't want them here.
Fair enough. It's just the Iowa piece. It's not the whole, the Nebraska part doesn't really.
No, not really.
Affect you too much. Because I remember during football season we talked, and the whole Indiana thing didn't seem to phase you too much. Like, I don't care, whatever, about Indiana. Yeah.
Yes. Good point, Tyler. Yes. I was going to make that point, Rob. You're talking about in your article, but it's like they're in the penthouse and we're in our fancy suite and it's like we can both have our fancy hotel rooms.
Yep.
I was going to make that same point. It doesn't, it bothers you way more.
It's just, I get the Iowa part of it.
Yes. Again, I chose college because of football and basketball. I did not choose Illinois because I had a program and I wanted to get a job in that. Like, I just found a way I could get in through landscape architecture. Like, I based my life around getting into Crush and Block I. That was all I cared. It was the whole point of me going to Illinois was for the sports. And one school and one terrible human who is still on my television One terrible human named Bruce Pearl ruined all of that by being a terrible human and, you know, recording a 17-year-old kid in the middle of the night because he's butthurt about losing recruit. So,
Yes. By the way, he recorded the kid, reported it to the NCAA. The NCAA then investigated, found no wrongdoing with the accusation, but then found other lack of institutional control. I feel like that part needs to be
5% of fans understand that the recording he turned in was a trick question to Dion. It was the "Do you still beat your wife?" question, where there's no answer to it. He asked Dion specifically, "Did it upset you when they offered you all those things?" And Dion's like, "Yeah." He's like, "So you felt bad when they were offering you $80,000 and a blazer?" "Yeah, I guess so." You know, Dion doesn't say anything. There was no like, "Did they?" He phrases this question of like, "Did it upset you that they're such cheaters?" You know, all this, like, he's asking all these different questions in 9 phone calls of a guy. He's just a terrible human being, and he's on CBS. So, anyway, I'll slow down.
So, Robert's going to have a Nebraska hat on 5 o'clock on.
Oh my God! Yes. Oh dear God! Yes.
Yes. Yeah, but it's like he called the cops, and then they, because of that, they had a warrant to search her house.
The way I always say it is, it's like taxes. Okay. Like,
failure to fix a tax stamp.
Yeah, hey, let's have the IRS come look through all your books. Let's see if every deduction you made last year, we're going to put an IRS agent right in your does anybody feel comfortable with that? Of like, we're going to, any deduction you've taken, anything, we're going to go through every single receipt you have. Is anybody comfortable having the IRS show up at their door? No. Is any school comfortable with the NCAA showing up at their door? Absolutely not. And may I note, there's someone on this call who might have been called into a meeting room with Mike Slive. Would you raise your hand if you were questioned as part of the Dion Thomas investigation?
What an awful memory. I mean, they pull you out of practice and you're like, what's going on here? They're asking you about sandwiches and did you have meal money and all this kind of crazy stuff. You have no idea what's going on. You don't know the context, what's going on. So that was a welcome to being.
Tell the whole story. Tell the whole story. Like, this is big. Like, you were part of the investigation. So tell the whole story.
I mean, that's basically the story. I mean, when I was a walk-on that year, 88, 89, that's the year we were recruiting Dion, and he was making his visits and so on and so forth. And at the end, near the end of the season is when those accusations had been kind of rumbling. And Mike Slive, who would end up being the SEC commissioner,
he's not anymore, but he was for 10 years.
He was the university counsel that we had hired to kind of guide us through this process.
Hired and then fired, right?
Yeah, because he was like, "Yep, well, you guys did this stuff. You better take what the NCAA gives you. You know, you can't beat can't beat City Hall." So it was, that's kind of the backstory to that. But yeah, they literally pulled even the walk-ons out of practice and took us into a back room in Huff Hall, like a classroom, and were just grilling us on all these minuscule little things about, like, did we get meal money, like I said, or any other did you get to sit at team meals, which we weren't allowed to do because of walk-on status. And say, so, I don't, you know, I'm just answering questions, not knowing what's going on. But you come out of there and say, that was weird. What was that all about? And then, of course, you find out down the road what's going on. But yeah, that was an interesting month, to say the least.
Because I think about how Michigan basically, like, was convicted of stealing signs. And basically didn't have any sort of postseason implications. I know football and basketball are different because the NCAA. But it feels like we have gotten off the hard, or we've gotten the hardest punishments for like minor infractions. Like, Maddie, what it really reminds me of is like, if you could chart pass interference calls in the NFL and you just see the Packers as like this crazy outlier of like, why do the big schools, why does Ohio State not have to pay, but Illinois does? And UNC got caught having their players not take classes. But good old Illinois did it the right way. And you know what? Nothing ended up happening to UNC.
Yeah, that was the Mike Slide defense. Well, the best case of course of action here is just throw yourself upon the mercy of the court and see what happens. And we got hammered.
Mm-hmm. So. Yep.
Well, Ohio State football did get in a little trouble with Jim Tressel. At least they're not. I know we're talking football. True.
If you compare Reggie Bush to Connor Stallions, it's not like. Not even close. Like,
yeah, no,
what
that's ridiculous.
Used to be what SMU got the death penalty for, and you compare it to anything that's happening now, it's not even close. Mm. You know, like the slush fund was like $100 that they could prove, and we fired all three coaches in 1967. Like every major coach is like, you're out. Illinois has been cheating by handing out $2 to players for meal money.
So not rooting against Iowa. In Sweet 16. Is now a bad time to say that I'd rather play Iowa than Nebraska in the Elite Eight?
You know, I feel like I'd rather play. I don't like that Iowa slow down defense. I hate it. Like it's so annoying, and they've gotten better at it since we played them. So
you need to pull up Iowa's KenPom page and look at their month of February into March and see.
Okay.
Aside from this game against Florida, check what they did down the stretch, and I think you'll feel a lot better about the matchup. You know, all the other stuff aside.
It's funny. I'm literally getting a text from my friend Adam, who's a professor at Iowa right now. Like his life is a living hell. He has been reporting to me all week of what his life is like. So, yes.
Maddie. Also, you got to realize Robert is the guy who, in 2005, wanted UNC to beat Michigan State, 100%. Right? 100%. UNC was clearly a top two team in the country. In Michigan State, what seed were they?
They were a four that made the Final Four, I think.
Yeah.
A 14.
And Robert's like, you know what? I'd rather play UNC.
Yep.
And it sounds like you don't regret that.
No,
like
not
you,
at all.
You agree with it, mm-mm. Even though it literally cost you a national title. Like,
yes.
I can tell you right now, we beat Michigan State in the regular season.
Yes. And would have beat them. Yes.
Yeah.
The heart wants what it wants. Why I bring that up is because, like, it's not like I have, like, it's not like there's logic, okay? It's not like I'm sitting there like, let's look at these two teams. I think that's better for me. I'm saying I'm watching the game, and my everything inside is like, oh, dear God, no. I can't control that. Like, I just let my emotions go where they go.
You can't.
It's our party, and you don't want uninvited guests.
Yes.
That's fair enough.
As I wrote, it's my Sweet 16 party. So I wrote in the description of the thing. It's like, my mom made me invite Iowa. And I'm like, this is stupid. I don't want them there. Nobody likes them.
Why
do I have to invite them? I'm friends with their parents. No, I don't want them there. That's basically who I am.
What if Iowa's parents are super loaded and Iowa's the one who brings you like the newest gaming system, aka you can beat them in the Elite Eight? And it's like,
I would open the package right in front of Iowa. I would take out the gaming system. I would smash it on the ground. My mom would be yelling at me and I would be screaming, I don't want them here. I don't want them here. And then I'd run off crying, probably.
I have to live with this man for the next 3 days. I think I'm going to start rooting for Nebraska as well.
Oh, my God. This is going to be cinema if they hopefully match up in the next round.
Are you wanting to go to both games on Thursday?
Oh, we'll talk about that.
Because I might just hide from that game. I don't want to hear the cheers. I don't want to be part of any of it. I already hate that we travel and we're going to be out-traveled by Nebraska by a significant amount this weekend, and it's all.
Yeah, I feel like that's been my number one fear, and as someone who doesn't – like, we talked so much X's and O's to start this podcast, probably more than we did combine the entire season on any of our podcasts, which was great. I love sitting there listening to it. I feel much more educated about what the game's going to look like. I know what Robert's going to feel like during the whole first 2 hours of the Sweet 16, but – my biggest fear has been Illinois fans not being able to travel because Nebraska fans are going to over-travel them. And I really hope they just spent all their money in Oklahoma City this past weekend. And now they can't go down to Houston. But yeah, that is that. I was nervous that you.
What if we have the fourth most fans here?
That's scary. Iowa doesn't even show up to their home arena.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Yeah.
We're third.
4,000 empty seats.
4,000 empty seats. They average 11 in attendance for a building that seats 15. There are Iowa fans who are learning starting players this week. They're learning the name of their starting five this week.
See, when you said that on the Light the Eye podcast, it did kind of get me a little bit more upset that they made it, because it's annoying that now it takes away from our accomplishment in making the Sweet 16.
No, it doesn't. And why? Why does it have to do that?
I think it lessens the accomplishment of the Sweet 16. If Iowa can make it, like, okay, it's not that big of a deal, you know? It's
all just, been since all 99.
All of the anguish that, like, all the Fran McCaffrey stands had for the last 20-something years.
It's funny.
And then in the first year this guy makes it, it just, like, proves that they could be here for, like, and constantly here. Like, Brad took still, like, 6 years to get there, or 5 years to get there, and this guy's doing it in 1 year. Obviously, he has the advantage of the transfer portal and NIL the way that it is. I know you hate this so much, Maddie, but
how college sports works. Just because the transitive property, just because you made it this year, does not mean you. We famously talk about this at the end of seasons when coaches get in press conferences and go, "We'll be back next year." Just because you made it doesn't mean you're going to be back. This does not mean that I was making 9 of the next 10 Sweet 16s. They do not have the consistency of a program that Illinois does. It is objectively funny that their coach made it in the first year further than Fran McCaffrey. But to say, oh, they're like a wagon or they're back because of one upset in a tournament that has upsets, we are sprinting before we even run and see what Iowa does next year.
Yeah. And I'll say this about the fan base travel situation. You know, we may be, even if we are the team that has the least amount of fans in the building, you know, we won more games on the road in the conference than we did at home. So I don't think this team is fazed by hostile environments.
That's a really good point. Like, we were a great road team. Maybe it's better that way. I just want to read to you what my friend who's a professor at Iowa just texted me. I'm just going to read his text out loud here.
I didn't know they had professors at Iowa.
What's that?
I said I didn't know they had professors at Iowa.
Yes. It is Calvin's. Sorry, I shouldn't say his name, his son's name. It is my son's 8th birthday, and we're Midwestern, so we go to Pizza Ranch, and some random guy starts talking to me about how great it is to see Iowa in the Sweet 16. My wife can see my own personal Francon meter start to rise and rise and rise. This is going to be a long 48 hours. I am right there with him. Like, that's my feeling of, like, the idea of having to walk into a Pizza Ranch for a son's 8th birthday party and have to talk to any Iowa fan about, hey, Sweet 16. Oh, my blood pressure is just, like, the hatred is so deep. I had forgotten. Like, this is opening up hatred that I had forgotten about.
I think Josh and I are in the exact same frame of mind, where we actually, as much as we think that it kind of diminishes Illinois' accomplishment a little bit, we were rooting for Iowa, because until we lose, it does increase our championship probabilities. So it's going to make it worse if Iowa advances further than us, if they beat us in the Elite Eight. If we lose to Houston and Nebraska or Iowa goes to the Elite Eight, that is torture. That is pain. But until then, it's championship probability. It's all about just, like, what can I do for my team, or how can my team basically have the highest
possible what I
chance?
Can do for my team.
Not
what can not, my ask team. Not what you, we go to Houston not because it is easy, but because there are direct flights.
Yeah, but to your point, Tyler, about us being really good on the road, and also to the point of Houston hasn't really played anyone. So we have beaten on the road Purdue at Purdue, who's in the Sweet 16, Nebraska at Nebraska, who's in the Sweet 16, Iowa at Iowa, who's in the Sweet 16, and Tennessee in Nashville. So
thank you very much.
This is a team that has won quite a bit on the road. So just do it one more time in Houston.
Two.
Well, then it's a neutral site against a team you've already beaten.
And it may come back to another coin flip game, but dang it, we've lost four of those, and this time it's going to come up heads, I swear.
We're law so of averages. Dead. Law of averages is about to even out in our favor. We've been talking about this for a month now. It just has
our number
to.
One listen, a number one listener would, couldn't agree more.
we have a statistics professor who's our like number one listener who is big every year on not wanting to win too many games in a row going into the tournament because he thinks that you're more likely, all given all things the same, he thinks that you're more likely to lose if we're on a win streak because each event is not mutually exclusive. And that if I flip a coin eight times in its heads, I need a tails in there before I go into the tournament. So no.
I did have this funny thought though that's kind of connected to this because that our friend Elliot always wants us to not win the Big Ten tournament because he thinks it's going to hurt our chances because of that, which is if we beat Houston, there's a chance we're just playing to win the Big Ten tournament. Your Thursday game would be Iowa or Nebraska. Your Friday game would be potentially Michigan State. And then your That's Friday game funny. Would be Iowa, Nebraska. Yeah. Saturday game would be Michigan State. And your Sunday game could just be Michigan. Like
that's funny. Yeah. That's true. That's funny.
Another crack at the Big Ten. Another crack at the Big Ten.
Just gotta win the Big Ten tournament. You don't even need to win the national
just beat
title.
Houston just win, yeah. Beat Houston first.
Yeah.
New addition
to beat Houston to get into the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weren't you gonna answer some questions?
Like I was about to bring those up.
That. Okay, well I'll stop talking. It's your
show. No, I was about to bring it up. Yeah, before the podcast, I said, give us your hottest take and we will react to it because we were having both Robert and Tyler on this podcast. And so we'll do a quick one and then I'll do the one that I think we'll actually have debate on. Number one, Kelvin Sampson is actually Satan. After everything you just said about Bruce Pearl, is Kelvin Sampson, like, where does he, like, I guess the thing to react to, is he above Bruce or is he below Bruce?
Tyler,
on your hate meter.
I don't have any more. How long ago was the Eric Gordon situation?
08.
I know it's, we've talked in our context with Iowa, which is 1989. And that's much farther in the rearview mirror than the Kelvin Sampson thing. But I've just never had the same level of hatred for Kelvin Sampson because it's just not part of my life. You know, Bruce Pearl's been a part of my life for whatever reason, but Kelvin Sampson has not been, aside from the NCAA tournament loss years ago. So I don't have that in anywhere near the same degree of dislike for that situation or for Sampson. I do.
Makes
for
total sense.
Robert. He's behind Pearl, obviously. I mean, you saw my bitterness, but I still hate 08. I still hate the way the Eric Gordon thing went down. I still celebrated when he got a 5-year show cause for cheating at Indiana. Like I still like he's a cheater, right? Like he 5 years he couldn't coach in college because he had cheated so I don't want to get myself in trouble. I call myself.
You're that. Interviewing him tomorrow.
Yes. He's sitting there tomorrow.
Do you want us to wait to do you want us to wait to
No.
Release
but,
this?
I mean, right. it's still look, our experience has always been this, right? Like our experience has been like around us are these moments of Illinois basketball's falling apart. We hang all of our emotions on this one recruit from Indianapolis, and Kelvin Sampson flips him with some illegal contact, I'll say, and flips him from Illinois to Indiana. And that was the like final moment of like, yeah, this isn't going to work because Eric Gordon flips, Derrick Rose doesn't come, and then suddenly we're what 14-18. In 2008, and everything had just been like crumble, fall apart. So yeah, Sampson's part of our lore, right? When everything fell apart, Sampson was right there scooping up Eric Gordon. So
butterfly effect. If that doesn't happen, then we're not where we are today with Brad Underwood. Of course, maybe we have four national championships, but everything happens for a reason, right?
Good point. It's all pointing to the national title this year.
Yeah,
which. Awesome. Tyler asked the question, how long ago was the Eric Gordon thing? Well, I looked it up. He flips his commitment in October 2006 and then signs in February of 2007. You know what also happened in February of 2007? Keaton Wagler was born.
Oh,
I was just, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Driving and potting. They say it's a great thing to do. I was just thinking, like, there are guys on the team who were either born then or maybe even born after. And, like, I'm so curious. Obviously, like, they, especially the European guys, like, couldn't even begin to understand this context of this coach we're playing. Like, I'm curious if they've heard anything about it. It's obviously just, like, the last thing they need to worry about when they're mentally preparing. But it's such a fascinating thing that it's like, hey, yeah, before you guys were born, there was this whole thing with this coach, and, you know, you're not going to understand what's happening, but it's just, it's literally a lifetime ago for these current players.
You know, I think I need to tell the Illini board story that's tied into that again. I've told it several times.
Eric Gordon's dad.
Yes. Eric Gordon's dad signed up for Illini board. This is back when it was just the message board before I was even part of it. So I was just someone on Illini board talking to other fans. I was Orange Ruffy at the time. That's all I went by. I didn't use my name. I was just commenting as Orange Ruffy. And Eric Gordon's dad gets on there, and as stories are starting to come out that, like, oh, he's going to attend an Indiana football game over Labor Day weekend. So Gordon had been committed since December. So, like, you're just trying to run the clock forward until you can sign him, and then it's over. Well, his dad went by Indy Old School. And so, like, people would be like, what's going on? And he would get on Illini board and tell Illini fans, don't worry. He has friends in Bloomington. He's just going to visit their friends. It's just close. He just went to a football game. He's not flipping. So then there was, like, a visit. He was reported to be at Yogi's restaurant. You remember that, Tyler?
I do. So
there was a thing of, like, Gordon was spotted at Yogi's restaurant in Bloomington. And everybody freaks out. So everybody's like, hey, Indy Old School, we need a little more power, He gets on there, he's like, I'll get Eric to come here. He called him EJ. He's like, I'll get EJ. So somebody signs up for a new username on Illini board, gets on, and says, Tyler, the quote was?
Everything is fine, good night.
Everything is fine, good night. And then Indy Old School immediately underneath him says, that was Eric. He is telling you fans, to your face. This is weeks before he flipped. He is telling the fans, to your face, he is signing with Illinois in November. You have nothing to worry about. We took that out into the stratosphere and said, Eric Gordon himself told us he's not flipping. All you fans like, I don't know. What if he flips?
Everything is fine. He said good night. He was polite.
He said, everything is fine. Good night. We stick to that. And what happens 2-3 weeks later, he flips to Indiana because of Calvin Sampson. So, again,
these things run deep, very deep.
This is why I would assume that there's no recruiting news coming to IlliniBoard.com recently, as we've been burned way too many times.
Why do I hate recruiting so much? Yes. What do you think?
And this is also Robert. The big difference between Light the Eye and this podcast is we'll let you go.
Yes. Scott, he has the taser to hit me if he hit the cowpoke.
Yeah.
Who said Robert? Was that Sam?
Did you? This is a dumb question. Did you ever verify if it was or wasn't Eric Gordon?
Brumby did. Yeah.
I'm just, like, imagining, especially in, like, 2007, someone being like, "Hey, I need you to go on here, make an account, and you have to type. It's all, like, you have to tell these people on the internet who are freaking out that that it's going to be okay."
He verified that the new user was at the same IP address in Indianapolis. As Indy Old School, and others on the board had, like, met Indy Old School at certain, like, recruiting events. So they knew who, like, there were some people who brought him to Illini board after meeting him at some AAU event or something like that. So it was 100% verified that it was Gordon's dad. And then the IP address was from, now, I guess it could have been his dad just, like, doing the whole, like, I'll just make another account or whatever. But his dad was like, it was a whole setup thing. Like, look, guys, you stop freaking out. I'm going to get him to come on here right now and tell you that he's coming to Illinois. And he did. And then, again, his dad would post 20 times a day until the day they flipped, and then never came back. And people started calling him out on the message board, like, hey, Indy Old School, are you just a coward? You won't even like sending him DMs, this and that. He never once acknowledged it.
I'm so fascinated by the psychology there. Like, do you think he was trying to control the narrative? So that's why he kept saying it's fine and then we'll let Eric make the decision? Or did he really want his son to go to Illinois and he believed that he was going to go and then Eric kind of got swayed by...
Again, look up what Samson got like a five-year show cause for. My theory were that some benefits came along and it changed all the calculus of like, you know, the check was cashed or whatever. Those were fascinating times, man. Like Anthony Longstreet. I love that I said
this would be the quick one.
old school internet days right there.
Well, given that you hate basketball, let's kind of compare it to a football game. Someone had an amazing take, and I want to know if you agree with this. This is a 2010 Texas Bowl repeat. Lots of offense. Illinois beats a Big 12 team with the consensus All-American. Texas Bowl featured stud coach Nate Shieldhouse. Ty Rogers, clubhouse leadership, launches a coaching career.
I like it.
Shout out, MJ is majestic.
I'm in. I'm totally in. I like that. I'm in.
That one's a good one.
Yeah, and for reference there, the opposing quarterback was Robert Griffin III.
Who won the Heisman the next year.
Yes, exactly. So, Kingston Flemings, you'll do great in the NBA, just not today.
Not yet.
Robert, would you rather lose to – this is from Andy Millis. I think he's on the board. Would you rather lose to Houston or Iowa?
Oh, man. That's a long face.
Tyler, answer. He's
I'd rather lose to Iowa. I mean, an Elite Eight is an Elite Eight. I'm not going to I'm not gonna put on airs. I mean, they would be devastating. It would be the worst day of my life. But
at least you're being rational about it.
But, I mean, an Elite Eight is an Elite Eight.
And again, when he says worst day of your life, like, that's why I didn't want Iowa here. You don't want the scenario out there of, like, something absolutely devastating could happen. Like, if Florida won that game, we beat Houston, lose to Florida, not a person bats their eye. We got to the Elite Eight. We lost to the defending champ, just like the last time we were in the Elite Eight. You can't do this. Nobody does anything. If we lose to Iowa, we don't hear about it. I personally will hear about it on my Twitter feed every day for the next 10 years. Someone will remind me of the loss in my mentions for 10 years. That's the door that is opened here. And I don't want it. I don't want to face it. Maybe that makes me a coward, but I don't want any part of that. I can't handle it. I can't.
Totally fair.
See, that's why I love Tyler and Robert, because I feel like Tyler is maybe a little bit less of like an emotional person than Robert. And he's the more straight man of the two. And he still said it would be the worst day of my life. So, and not a hint of sarcasm. That's amazing.
I will say this about our respective psyches. Robert has more deep-rooted, long-term damage to his psyche from that. My is more in the moment. I am a rage machine if we are losing. During games, you do not want to see me in a fan situation. If we're losing a game, I think we should win. It's not pretty. But
Nebraska lost like a jerk.
3 hours later, I'm fine. It's done. I can go. I'm ready to go out. And okay, it's over. It's fine. But in the moment, it's
someone just, here punched the table after Nebraska hit the last second shot in December. It was either me or Tyler, and I'll guess. Let you guess who it was.
Which at State Farm Center. Oh my God.
He gave it to Ron Gunther. You guys are too young for that story. Our AD in front of the media when Warren Carter missed a rebound, our AD stood up, slapped the media table in front of him, and says, "Damn it, Warren.
You idiot.
Damn it, Warren, you idiot."
Yes.
Our athletic director calling a student athlete an idiot and punching the table while the national media is to his left and to his right.
To be fair, I think I slapped the
yes, good point.
Open hand.
Good point. Good point.
I remember saying, "Of course he made it." I remember those words came out of my mouth. Of course he made it.
My computer just hopped a little bit. It was good.
I don't want to go back to the Iowa thing because
It's fine. The wounds are healed. We'll tear them off on Sunday, but the wounds are healed. We're fine. Saturday.
My son's birthday is going to be the best day of my life. That's Saturday.
I mean, let's talk about that. Like, there are a lot of other people that will say, like, can you imagine how great it would be to beat Iowa and go to the Final Four? You know, there's that side.
What about the flip
side? There are a lot
side?
Of people who could live there. We'll be favored by, like, 8 if we do play Iowa, if we beat Houston, and if they beat Nebraska. I'll tell you what my – I'll tell you – you asked the question. I'll tell you what my absolute nightmare scenario is. We lose to Houston. Iowa beats Houston. That's my nightmare.
Mm.
No, I feel like Iowa beating you is way worse.
No. I'm just saying, like, if we don't beat Houston, then the pain isn't over.
Correct. Okay.
The pain could still exist.
No, it's equal. Yeah, it's almost equal. Yes. It's almost it's as close to equal as you could get. Yeah.
Yes. If it's Nebraska and Houston in the Elite Eight, we live fine. We played KenPom number 4 as KenPom number 6. We got to win one of these days. We did beat Iowa State, but you know that's that. But if it's Iowa, Houston, and Iowa wins, I normally hide from the tournament after we lose. I would be in a bunker somewhere. I won't even open Twitter. I won't be able to handle it.
You won't join us, Robert, this year on our therapeutic post game podcast that we do when we lose in the tournament. We shouldn't link you in for that one.
Unless you want to see a grown man cry, no, you should not.
It's usually what happens every year.
It's a tough one. Usually I'm choking it back a little, choking back some, you know, a couple tears as we're, you know, talking about the season.
Let me say this, since people listening are worried about me. Like, I get texts from friends like, are you sure? Like, should you even be there? Like, here's the thing. When we win the national title, and we will win a national title on Sunday, maybe in 2 weeks, when we win a national title, I'm not sure there will be a human alive that will enjoy it more than me.
Not a chance.
I have put my heart out there for this team since high school. I went to Illinois because of this team. Everybody thinks I hate basketball. I have these, like, yes, I'm a football guy. Yes, I'm one of the 17, but that doesn't mean I don't like basketball. It doesn't mean I don't live and die. If we do this, the emotions this heart is capable of, the space that has been carved out by all this pain, will be, I'm going to write for 2 weeks. I'll write a book, damn it. Like, I will write forever because I have all of this built up. So the bad side is I can't even handle staying in a hotel near downtown Houston because I don't want to see Iowa fans. The good side is the glee, the joy will be overwhelming. I have capacity for joy here, folks.
For anyone who doesn't believe that, we hung out with you after we made a bowl game. We won our sixth game. We won our sixth game, and we partied I don't know. Insert metaphor of way bigger deal event here, right? Like, we're celebrating you deleting like the some Twitter thing where we hadn't won a certain amount of money. Like, so there is
we
no
deleted
one,
that thing. That's right, in the bar.
In the bar. So there is no one, Robert, that doesn't, you know, at least tangentially know you or understand your writing that doesn't believe that right there. Because I've seen you after like moderately exciting things in basketball and football. This is not moderate. This is severe.
I'll repeat what I said the other day. I think I said it on Live the Eye. My joy of Illinois over Michigan 21-7. The Red Grange Day, all of that. My joy from that day, I guarantee, was as high or higher than Ohio State fans winning a national title that year.
I believe that.
To me, that just the number of times I go back to that, like, they're still riddled with this angst, and there's Ohio State fans are having this debate of, like, is it actually a bad thing that we won the national title because it means Ryan Day is here for a long time and he can't beat Michigan, and now we're stuck with a coach who can't beat Michigan? You know, like, that's their fandom. My fandom is we beat Michigan and exercised demons from 30 years past of 10 different games that went terribly. And it still makes me giddy to think about that day. So my experience is my experience. How long have we gone here?
Give us
don't
one more
invite
hot take.
Me on. Like, don't well, invite
we,
me on. This is what
I
you
feel like
do
we,
yourself.
We have so much more to talk about.
Is this a two-parter? We can record. We can release this as a two-parter.
Like, one thing I wanted to talk about, just going off of that, was I can probably tell you what Robert's two favorite New Year's Eves have been, and it's been 2024 and 2025. Like, the feeling after winning those two bowl games was amazing. Mm-hmm. Maddie, we had dinner together on New Year's this year, and I, for some reason, like, I decided to walk there, and it was probably like a 40-something minute walk. And I played Rocky Top the entire walk, just on repeat, on repeat, on repeat, because I was just in such the best mood ever for winning what people who casually cover college football are saying meaningless bowl game, because it wasn't in the college football playoff. So mm-hmm. yep. I can tell you how excited we are for this moment.
Yes. One, we make the Final Four this weekend.
It's going to be a problem. Yes. It's going to be a problem. Yeah. Yes. Josh might put his foot in his mouth when he's like, this is the greatest day of my life. And it is not because my son is turning one today. Okay.
It's the greatest day of your life so far.
Which I did say to Maddie, Josh, and Sam, saying, hey, so Sunday, there are going to be games in Chicago. So if we make the Final Four, does anyone want to just go and watch the Chicago Elite Eight game and just be like, well, we're going to the Final Four. I guess we'll see who else is there.
That is, I love that. That is egomaniacal. Just like, so, I don't know. I'm trying to think of the right word. That's just crazy. That's awesome. It's just so almost disrespectful.
Yeah, exactly. We're sitting here up in like, oh, you guys are just in the Elite Eight. That's cool.
We're sitting up here in our high little castle in section 314. Just like, play basketball for me. Yes, yes, yes. Entertain me. One of you will lose and go home crying. Like, and one of you can go on if you'd like. Like, that's just the most utterly disrespectful thing I've ever heard, Johnny. That's great. Long way to go.
Just like the 33% chance to see Michigan lose in the Elite Eight.
I'm laughing how tickets are like $500 for that game already. Yeah. And Johnny's like, let's just stop by.
Yeah, a little Schadenfreude.
Yeah, maybe not stop by after seeing that. Yeah, just entertain me.
All right, well, let's talk Houston, and I'll do the last take just to try to bring it home. Someone gave a take, Alana, who I know posts on this Slack channel for Boardroom. She said, if Tommy has more than 22 combined points and rebounds, we win. Based on all the X's and O's conversation.
I think that's probably oversimplifying a little bit. I do think that we need the Tommy that played like he did in Greenville. I mean, he averaged a double-double, I think, for the weekend almost. And I was recording the traditional Zavon Amir and Tommy half court shot contest that they always have at the end of pregame warm up. So just to kind of set the table, every game there's like a pregame warm up, and then they go into the locker room with like 8 minutes left, and they come back out with 4 minutes left. They do most of their warm up in that first session. And at the end, Tommy and Z are always the last two off the court because they're having a little half-court shot contest. They each take shots until they make one. Sometimes they both make it, one of them always makes it. Tommy made his shot, and I'm videotaping it the whole time. And he starts to run off the court to go down the tunnel. But instead of going around the row of chairs where the VCU bench is, he just runs and jumps over them right in front of the coaching staff. And everyone there is like, what are you doing? What was that? What are you doing, Tommy? First of all, never do that again. And
land on your ankle sideways.
Exactly. Catch an edge. But the other part that I was thinking is he looks really bouncy. I mean, it wasn't like this huge athletic feat or anything, but it was really encouraging to see him that hyped up and bouncy before the game. And I was like, I think that's probably a bodes well for tonight. And surely it did. I mean, he played really well, 14-11, even with some foul trouble in the first half. So yes, I do think we need that Tommy to show up, but I'm not going to say if he gets 10 and 10 that we're going to lose. So
what was the quote? If he gets what?
22 combined.
Oh. Yeah.
Seems a little low. It was my reaction to that.
What if it's 22 rebounds, 0 points?
if he gets 10 points and 10 rebounds, I'm fine with that. Believe me.
I'm cool. We
need that. Definitely need at least that Tommy. Correct.
Yeah.
You, He's heating up at the right time, right? Yeah.
He just, I joked in my article that maybe he was on a self-imposed load management system program.
Yes, I like that. I like that a lot.
So,
which that block that he had right at the start kind of set the tone. Legit. That was just
absolutely, yeah,
straight up, and that was awesome. I feel like we might need a combined Tommy's Vonnemir point total, that also point rebound point total that could give you an indication. But one question I had for Robert and Tyler is, which piece was most encouraging to you of returning back to form, which is Tommy being Tommy, Andre's performance against VCU, which he kind of carried us in the first half, or Keaton with the step back?
I know what Robert's answer is.
You know what my answer is. Predict my answer. What's my answer, Tyler?
Keaton. You want to even begging Keaton to shoot the ball better since
here's how I'll say it. It's the Keaton. It's swish. Okay. Yeah. It's when he's been on, it's this soft little jumper that lands so softly through the net.
It's like a diver going through a perfect dive, a 10 out of 10 dive that just doesn't create a ripple.
Yes. Yes. And we hadn't seen that. And I know that's stupid because it's like, you know, there's makes and there's misses. And it's like, not like everybody is targeting the dead center of the net. But just the splash is what encouraged me this weekend. Like just seeing him do this nice little soft jumper, a nice splash through the net where it barely moves, like that has been missing. And so I mean, we go as far as he can take us. So
yeah, and
just like they go as far as Fleming's take him.
I've been riding Tommy as our X factor for the last month too. With it, our ceiling is highest when Tommy is at his highest. That's what makes us truly a national championship contender when Tommy is a double double Tommy. So that's where I am. And as far as Andre, he obviously yes, he saved the first half against VCU, but it was like tailor made for him. VCU does not defend the rim very well, and their defense was not impressive at all.
They lost that guy 3 minutes in or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true too, of course. But
Nebraska fans like to bring that up right now. Just saying.
I think Gray will have a tough sledding at the rim against Houston, and I hope he doesn't force a bunch of shots because I don't think he'll be able to get to the rim as easily as he did on Saturday. So,
mm-hmm. Yep.
That was a cool question, Johnny. That was very nuanced, very layered question right there. I could tell you've been noodling on that.
I'd like to say to the Nebraska fans that the guy who got injured was 6'1". So congrats that David Mirkovich would have just posted him up and gotten a few easy layups. Like, I don't know if it's as big of an injury as they're making it out to be, but
well, in the 30-point blowout. No, yeah. It's okay. In a 30-point blowout, like he was the A-10 freshman of the year. I understand he was like a very key piece of their team, but yeah, I don't think that was like the reason. It's like when you have a bad call down at the end. It's like that's not – and by ref, like that's not the reason that you lost the game. It hurts, but it certainly was not the – did not modify
Johnny
the outcome.
Johnny would back to differ.
Much. Their coach after the game, Martelli's son, he said something to the effect of, I think we're building a program, but this year we climbed as high as we could go. And yeah. I say that because that team next door, they have a national championship pedigree that we're trying to get to. So he knew that they were outclassed with or without the injury.
Totally. Totally.
I have a question. We're going to go around the horn. Everybody's going to answer. You have to answer quickly. I'm going to call your name and then you're going to answer. Mm-hmm. The question is, someone is going to splash a bunch of threes on Thursday. Is it Ben or is it Jake? Josh, you are up first.
David, sorry.
Ooh, I'm a contrarian. Ooh. You have to pick one, Ben or Jake.
I would love it to be Ben.
Okay. Tyler.
I say Ben. His stroke looks really smooth the last really several up, down the stretch. His 3-point stroke looks really good. I'm going Ben.
Johnny.
I'm a Ben guy, but for whatever reason, my heart's telling me Jake.
Okay. Maddie.
I've been on this for 2 years. Tourney, Ben. I have been wanting Tourney Ben, and hopefully this is the Tourney Ben game. Give me three threes here, Ben. I'm going Ben.
Three? That's all you're asking for?
I'm going
Ben, can we get five?
Ben,
can we get
Ben.
Six?
Five
I got to be realistic. Ben. I'm going triple Ben.
All right, Sam, if you haven't veered off the road into an accident, he's still on mute, so I don't even know if he's here.
What do we
Just
think
gotta
he would
look. He's just
say?
got to look at his phone, go off mute, go back
Josh,
on.
you answer for Sam.
Sam is going to say, Jake.
Yeah, I
Can you
was going to
hear
say
me?
Jake.
Oh,
Yes.
oh.
Yes.
I was gonna say Jake, but I heard Josh predict that.
Josh was
Now
right.
I
Yes.
really, I gotta go with Tourney Ben.
Tourney Ben, Tourney Ben, he's
I'm going
due.
Jake. I just feel like Jake has this game in, especially since he
So
started.
here's the thing, and Johnny, like was it last game, Johnny, or the first round game? You really didn't want Ben to like actually shoot a shot, just because like you love that he's like actually providing an impact, but without having to hit threes, and he's like being the all hustle player on our team. And like I think in a game against Houston where I'm laughing while saying this, talking about Jake and Ben, where like you need that effort and like a extra like I'm not gonna say athleticism, but you need that extra juice. Like Ben is the like both of them provided, but Ben has been like he's the taller person. He's the one fighting for rebounds in a much more advantageous way. So that's why I feel like Ben is the like I know nothing about X's and O's. He's probably the better person for this game.
I like it. It's gonna be Jake. Jake's hitting five threes on Thursday,
That's fine. I mean,
but I like
I'm
it.
fine with
I
that.
like
I'm
it.
fine with being wrong if as long as one of them absolutely lights it up, right? You know,
Here's the other thing I had to say. And then I'm out of things to talk about. I'll just be out of words. Did we lose Sam?
we lost Sam. Sam didn't want to hear
Let's just
whatever
make
Yeah,
sure he's let's make sure he's okay.
it was like that wasn't him. Like I made the joke about him veering into a ditch, but I want to paint a scenario. It's not going to happen, but let me just paint it. We're down four in the second half with 12 minutes left. Houston's gone on a run. Coming out of the timeout, who comes into the game? Ty Rogers pulls his red shirt, the Sweet 16, and gets two putback dunks to lead us back. I would weep
It's
terrible tears. I mean, it's not going to happen. He's obviously taking this as another red
not going
shirt.
to happen.
He's gonna have two more years. But like the oh my God, is that Ty Rogers music?
But
He
I like
probably didn't even bring his uniform.
the Tony Bilic burn the shirt.
Oh, that's goodness. Hey, you look good, he did it.
Sam confirmed he did not veer off the road, but he's
Okay,
saving that
good.
for when we lose to Iowa.
Oh,
Oh
that's
God.
oh,
Okay. All
just
right.
boom.
All right.
Right in the heart.
I hope this made you guys feel a little bit more confident going into the weekend here. I'm excited to chat with you guys when we're going to the Final Four. Like that's gonna be a fun podcast. It's
Oof.
gonna be a real fun
All
one.
of you
From your
gonna
lips.
go, right? You'll all be there, right? Like
Let's
be there.
it's that or a trip to the Balkans this summer.
Okay.
So
Okay. Good.
I'm in. I'm in.
I know you listen to all of our podcasts, Robert. But
Yeah,
we're
all of
going
them.
it all of them. It we said in an early episode saying if we do win the national championship, we are going to every city that the players are from.
Taking a
That's
Balkan trip.
epic.
We're taking a Balkan trip. Balkan with the boys.
That
We're
is
making
awesome.
shirt. We're gonna make shirts.
Which we might have to time the trip now because Illinois might be playing in the
Right.
Balkans in
Right. We need a
October, November of next year, or November of next year. So
Maybe we
probably on
could.
a football weekend, to be fair. So I
Ooh.
don't know what the Illini board travel budget looks like, but someone's got to go to cover those games.
Maybe it's the guy who covered Alabama and UConn and wait, where else did you go? Oh, Penn State.
And Maryland,
Maryland. We need that.
Yes.
And South
Yes.
Carolina. So
Yes. Yes.
thanks, Brumby.
Thanks, Uncle Brumby.
Thank you, Uncle Brumby.
Good work, fellas. Do 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 do. Thanks for listening to this episode, everyone. We'll catch you on the next episode of The Boardroom.